Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we continue on with our study of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are in the letter S. If you've been following along, we are studying about Jesus Christ and grouping attributes and names and characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ in alphabetical order. And in our last broadcast, we started with the letter S. We've already worked up that far and did the first part of it, where Jesus Christ is separate from sinners. He's like the Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. He's the good shepherd, and he's a succorer, a helper. Today we're going to look at some other characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to find the first one in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in this one, we're going to find, first of all, that Jesus Christ is spiritual. That's important. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 46 and 47. This whole passage is about the resurrection and a part of the resurrection that we refer to as the rapture. The Bible says, "Howbeit that which was not first, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven." All right, he's spiritual. See that? "Afterward that which is spiritual." So Jesus Christ is spiritual. That's very, very important. You know why? Because when Jesus Christ was here on the earth and he was talking to the Samaritan woman, she said, now there's a question I have in my mind about where we are to worship God. Because our father, she said, worshiped in this mountain. There she was in Samaria. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Right? Well, Jesus Christ said, not at Jerusalem, not in this mountain, but ye shall worship God in spirit. Look what he says. "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Do you see that? Jesus Christ is spiritual. There is no other man on this earth when he comes into this earth that is spiritual. Like Adam, that we are natural. Jesus is spiritual. We see that now. Of course, he had a literal body. Don't misunderstand me. But he is conceived in the womb of Mary by the Holy Spirit. Without the presence of any man, the power of the Almighty overshadowed her. And he came forth. He is the Holy Spirit incarnate. He is God manifest in the flesh. He is spiritual. Notice that when he lay in the grave after his crucifixion, his body in 3 days and 3 nights did not see corruption. You see that? And it didn't see corruption because he had never allowed sin to get into that body, and therefore it didn't change its estate. I'm referring, when I say change its estate, I'm referring to the angels that fell when they came to the earth and cohabited with women in Genesis chapter 6 and 2 Peter chapter 2 and in the book of Jude. They lost their first estate. Jesus never did. He's spiritual. And as a result, there are things about the Lord Jesus Christ that are literal, and yet they have a spiritual connotation. In other words, you're going to see today that he is the Son, S-U-N. And yet, when you look up at that ball of fire, that's not Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ is called the Son of Righteousness, which is literal, and yet there are spiritual connections based on and connected with the sun that we see in the sky. He's also a star. He's called the bright and morning star. Okay? Well, as a star, you look around there and you say, well, star bright, star whatever you say when you make the wish. You're looking around there and say, which one of those stars is Jesus Christ? He's literal, but you don't see him in the heavens as a blinking star. They're not going to find him with the Hubble telescope. Why? Spiritual. He's a stone. Literally. And we're going to look at that today. However, when you go and you say, now I wonder which one of these pebbles he is, and you start picking up rocks and doing geological investigation, you're never going to find him. Why? Because he's not one of these stones. He's not natural. He's spiritual. In another place, you're going to find out that he's Shiloh. Well, there's a place called Shiloh. It's where the first tabernacle was set up. Okay? And when Jesus Christ comes and he's going to sit in the place of judgment, he's going to sit in the place of rule, he is going to reveal himself to mankind as Shiloh, like where they set up the first tabernacle when they came into the land of Canaan. However, you'll never find him as a physical city or a physical place. Why? He's spiritual. In another place, you find out that he's a scepter. See all these S's? You find out that he's a scepter, and indeed he is, literally. However, if you look at every spear and every sword that's on the face of this earth that's ever been made, you'll never find him. Why? He's not natural. He's spiritual. You say, well, how can he be both? That is the unique character of the Lord Jesus Christ. He can be here in a literal body, and he is. He's here in a literal body. That's right. He dwells in you, and he dwells in me, and we are the body of Christ, and he's the head of that body. But you will look at everybody in this world. You will never see Jesus Christ. Why? He's spiritual. Isn't that a strange thing? It's strange maybe to you to hear it put in that connotation. Not strange to me, but that's, you know, I've been reading it, studying it, getting acquainted with it, preaching it, teaching it. It's not strange. It's unusual. You know, it's unusual because you don't see anything else in the natural world to compare to this. So he's spiritual, therefore he's God. We know he's God, God manifest in the flesh. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's look at these spiritual aspects of the Lord Jesus Christ that we've talked about here today, the sun, the star, the stone, Shiloh, the scepter, and apply these things to the Lord Jesus Christ, and if nothing else, if you can't make the spiritual connection, at least you will see these things in the Bible. And as you study more, hopefully then the spiritual connection will become clearer for you. Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4, and look at verse 2, verse 1 for the context. You are looking at a context that is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, called the day that cometh. Watch this. Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. That day hadn't come yet. Now, some people may tell you it has. It hadn't. It's not come yet. It will. At the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll ride back on white horses, following the white horse of the Lord Jesus Christ when he's wearing his multitude of crowns. And you're going to tread down the wicked, ashes under the soles of your feet. And when he comes with healing in his wings for those that need to be healing, and destroys those that need to be destroyed. And he won't even leave them a root or a branch. No more of them. He'll root them out of the earth. Now, when he comes, he's called the Son of Righteousness. And now, if you hear me reading that, you probably think I've said Son, S-O-N, the Son of Righteousness, because indeed he is the Son of Man. He's the Son of God and that kind of stuff. But that's not what you're reading here in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. He is the Son, S-U-N, and it's capitalized, capital S-U-N, of righteousness. And he comes as a fire, burning up the proud and the wicked. They're going to be just like stubble. When you read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, he tells you not to be troubled, but rest with us. Because the Lord is going to be revealed from heaven. And how does he come back? In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says about him in Hebrews chapter 12, my God is a consuming fire. That's the sun in type. Look at Psalm 19. You'll see it right here. Psalm 19, you're going to read a great typology here about the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what he's going to, what's going to typify the Lord? The sun. He rules the day. Psalm 19, the heavens, verse 1, declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. People say, how do they know about God? The heavens are talking. Verse 4, their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, S-U-N, which is as a bridegroom, that's what John the Baptist called him, coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there's nothing hid from the heat thereof, nothing hid from the eyes of the Lord. All right, so he's typified by the sun. Unfortunately, the world picked up on this, probably by influence of the devil, no doubt, and have counterfeited this aspect of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. You know, it's not been too long ago that we had a little Christmas season. And everybody gets all excited and they said, oh, Jesus is the reason for the season. He's not the reason for Christmas. Nah, not that holiday. That holiday, December the 25th, is part of the winter solstice, and it is the day of the worship of the sun god. It's a pagan holiday. And what's happened is that when the church, the Catholic Church, went into these pagan areas and they were already worshiping the sun god and had all this, what they allowed is they allowed the worship of their sun god to be incorporated with their religion, so that then they would just simply start, instead of worshiping the sun, start worshiping Jesus Christ, the statue, with his mother Mary. It's just trading one idolatry for another. That's all it was. Jesus Christ wasn't born in December. He was born in September. He's born at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. It's a very significant feast. All right? Not born in the winter solstice. Not worshipped as a sun god. But what has the world done? They even get mad because they want Jesus back in the season of the worship of the sun god. It's a pagan thing. That's right. You know, I was preaching on the street in San Antonio years ago. Big Christmas tree out there in front of the Alamo, Christmas time. Man, there were crowds all over the place. Great time of preaching, and I made some comments about, no Santa Claus. And about the tree is like the tree of Calvary, the cross. And the presents are like the gift of God, which is eternal life. And how you have to open the presents in order to be saved. You have to receive Jesus Christ. And a woman got furious with me and called the park police and said, that I needed to shut up because I had just kicked Santa Claus. I'm serious. The woman was frantic. Why? Because she had her little boy there, and he had never heard that there wasn't any Santa Claus. And she wanted him to believe the lie a little longer and wanted the police to make me shut up. Well, the policeman was very, very wise and very commendable. He recognized what the problem was, and he knew that we were there properly and freely preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he just kind of moved her over till she calmed down, and then they went on, not so merrily, on their way. I really didn't mean to offend the woman. You can understand that. But then when I got to thinking about it later, how crazy it is, I was preaching the truth. Her little child was old enough to understand the gift of God and his eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And yet she got mad and wanted him to continue to believe the lie. Why? Confusion over the sun. That's what the problem is. And may I say something to you? Jesus Christ is spiritual. He is the literal Son of Righteousness. You have no business worshiping a statue of him or the host of heaven, all those stars and sun and moon that you see up there, or any of that stuff that's literal. Why? Because he is not that. He is spiritual. And if you're going to worship him, you must worship him in spirit and in truth. And it's not true to worship him in conjunction with Santa Claus. Not true to worship him as if he were born on December the 25th. You got it? Spiritual. All right, here's another one. Look in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. He's a star. Now, in my mind, he's a superstar. But that's not what we're talking about here. Numbers chapter 24. All the stardom today, the athletic stars and the music stars and the acting stars, and you know that's what's going on in Hollywood, right? If you're a great Hollywood actor, they make you a movie star. Well, I've got my own star, and it's not the movie stars; it's Jesus Christ. You just be sure of that. Book it, okay? Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. Balaam's prophecies concerning Israel. He's hired to curse them; can't even do it. Prophecies concerning Israel. And he says about them, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now. He's talking about a man. There shall come a star out of Jacob. Now he says something else. We'll come back to this one because he says there'll also come a scepter. But we have to come back to this text for that. He says, there shall come a star out of Jacob. Again, that is not a small S. If you're not able to read along with me, that is a capital S. It is referring to a man. I shall see him. Not now. He's not here yet. There shall come a star out of Jacob, okay, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Well, interestingly enough, when the Lord Jesus Christ is born, the wise men that come from the east said, we have seen his star. And what did they do? They followed it into Israel and followed it right down to the place where he lay. What is that? That's a literal star. But you can look through the universe trying to find that star. You will never find it. Why? Spiritual. And you can't see it. Not now. Look in Revelation chapter 22. The Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. And no question who this is. He identifies himself. He calls himself the bright and morning star. Okay? Look at this thing. Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, identified himself. Jehovah's Witnesses have the hardest time with all this. Who is that? Well, that's Jehovah, this and that. He's identifying himself. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Well, okay then. The bright and morning star is the star that comes up before the sunrise. Well, if Jesus Christ is the sun, and that's typical of his second advent, then the rising of the star is typical of the rapture. Because the morning star comes up first. I love that. Sometimes I'll go outside with my Bible to read, be out there with the dog sitting in one of the picnic chairs that we have in the backyard. And but you look up there in the blue sky, and there it is, rising up, bright, bright and morning star, so bright that all the other stars are no longer, you can't see them. The sky has illuminated to the point that you can't see the starlight, but you can see that star. Only one. And there is only one Lord Jesus Christ. People say all of us are going, no, you don't go by way of Allah and by way of Jesus at the same time. You obviously know that. People say we all worship the same God. Yeah, but my God has a son named Jesus. And Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. And if you don't come through him, you don't go to God. There's one way. One bright and morning star. One sun of righteousness. But you go around looking for that star today, you can see it in type, just like you can see the sun up there in type. But you're not going to find Jesus Christ literally, physically. Because, why? He's spiritual, and what you would see now if you went to look for him is you wouldn't find him. He's seated at the right hand of God Almighty in heaven. Now, one thing we want to say about this before we go to the next thing. May I say to you, yes, I may, it's my program. I will say to you that Jesus Christ is the bright and morning star, not Lucifer. If you go to the modern Bibles, most of them, not all, but most of them, confuse the devil with Jesus Christ in Isaiah chapter 14. That's right. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which did weaken the nation? That's what he is. He's son of the morning. Lucifer, light bearer. You know what the modern Bibles do? They call him the morning star. right there, comparing then and equating Lucifer with Jesus Christ. May I tell you, that's a terrible thing to do. That's blasphemy. You say, but I just think they read easier. You want to keep reading something easier because it's what? A lie? It's kind of like that woman out there when we were preaching in San Antonio. It was easier for her not to have to deal with the questions of her child and just get him to continue to believe the lie. Convenience is always not the best course of action. Don't you know that? All right, something else. He's a stone. Look in Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. It's an image. He's the head. And then the Medes and the Persians. And then the Greeks. Then the Romans. Then the kingdom of the Antichrist in the image. And when it's all said and done, guess what happens? A stone comes down from heaven. Thou sawest till a stone, Daniel 2:34. Thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Guess what? The iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold, broken to pieces together, became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away. But what happened? No place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Jesus Christ is that stone. Yes, when he contended with the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 21, he gave them a parable about an heir that came into his own vineyard to receive the fruit after the husbandman produced the crop, and they didn't want to give it to him. They killed the son, said, let's pitch him out of the vineyard, and it'll all be ours. And in Matthew chapter 21, verse 41, the Lord said, or 42, he says, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing and is marvelous in our eyes. Did you ever read that? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, he is the chief cornerstone. That's right. Look around here and try to find that mountain. Try to find that stone that's cut without hands, that chief cornerstone, that top stone on the pyramid. You're not going to find it. Why? It's real, it's literal, but you're not going to see it because he's spiritual. He's up there. And if you go looking for the stone, you're going to see a bright light on there. You're going to see a lamb with seven eyes. You're going to see a man sitting on a white horse, but you're going to look around for the stone. Spiritual. Spiritual. So what do people do? Well, they counterfeit it, just like they counterfeited the star with Lucifer in the modern Bibles, just like they've counterfeited Jesus Christ with the sun god at Christmas. They counterfeit the stone. How? They make a molten god out of Jesus Christ, stand him up as an image, and tell you worship that. Graven image. Worship that. And I'll tell you something, he's not that. Why? He's spiritual, and God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. See? All right, let's look at another one. Genesis 49:10. Genesis 49:10, there's a great prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ here, given to the tribe of Judah. Genesis 49 and verse 10. And in this particular one, Jesus Christ here is called Shiloh. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh, capital S, come. And unto him, it's a person, shall the gathering of the people be. Now Shiloh in Joshua chapter 18, verses 1 and 8, is the place where they went to inquire of the Lord. Guess what? When Jesus Christ is here, they're going to go to him to inquire of the Lord. Matter of fact, Gentiles are going to grab hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew and follow him right into Jerusalem so they can meet the king. All right, so that's Shiloh. Now, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Judah is going to have the scepter. Notice he says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. In Numbers chapter 24, when we read about the star, guess what? We also read about the scepter, capital S. And if we have time at the end of the broadcast, we'll deal with that a little bit more. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8 shows us that scepter is given to the Son, the God, the one on the throne. It has to do with ruling, okay? And he is the ruler. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All right, he says the scepter shall not depart from Judah. Well, the interesting thing was Judah is the fourth born, not the firstborn, and he shouldn't have the rule. But the genealogy is not reckoned after that chronology. It's given to Judah because Reuben defiled his father's bed, and Simeon and Levi broke the covenant that they made with Dinah's raper, and Judah is the one whose name means praise, and God says, my king is going to come from him. Well, the first king is Saul, not David. Saul comes from Benjamin. So when David takes the throne and he's from Judah, from that point forward, all the kings of Judah come from Judah, and right down to the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The gathering of the people, the washing his garments in wine in verse 11, the lion's whelp, he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. Those are all Second Advent passages. Shiloh hasn't come yet, but when he does, and the people are gathered to him, he'll be here. They rejected him at the first coming. They said, we have no king but Caesar. But the lion of the tribe of Judah, from verse 9 there, is going to take that throne, and he is going to rule that that nation, and he's going to rule the world. What's the counterfeit? The Antichrist. That's right, because Shiloh will not have come. The Antichrist is the counterfeit. And as I said, finally, he is the scepter, just showing that that rule is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What a fabulous study. You know what? He's spiritual. You'll know it when he gets here. And until then, you worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.